Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I want to talk about empowering the next generation of kingdom leaders. I had this opportunity to pick up this book while I was actually in the store and then started reading it. But it was written about, and the book is called Beauty Queen, Inside the Reign of Andrea Jung's at Avon. And the reason I picked it up, because my wife years ago was an independent distributor, and she did phenomenally well in Avon. So I was interested that way and just started reading it. And it was a page turner because it just talked about some remarkable things about her journey, what she was able to accomplish. And I think oftentimes that people look at someone in a position and think, well, you know, they just got there. You know, mm-hmm. You know, it just happens. And it just really challenged me to think about raising the next generation of future leaders in the kingdom of God, Christian leaders, and what we can do. You know, she was the CEO, the first female CEO of Avon. It's a 125-year company.
Wow.
And she's the first female CEO of a beauty cosmetic company. Go figures, run by men all these years. She's the first female. And talk about, you know, women in leadership and having the opportunity to be empowered to do great things. I mean, this is really a great story. But she rose, you know, obviously from in the ranks. She graduated from Princeton University with an English degree. Wow. She does not have an MBA and didn't have a business degree, an English degree. And upon graduation, she told her parents that she was going to wanted to go to the Peace Corps. And her parents were like, oh, no, you need to get a job. You know, you need to get a J-O-B and get some experience. She was born to Chinese parents in Canada. And her father was an architect and her mother was a pianist. And at a young age, she had she's very fortunate and blessed. She had the opportunity to learn Mandarin. She learned French as a schoolgirl, young girl, and she also learned how to play the piano. And we go, okay. Mm-hmm. From a young age, we're starting to see a trend here, and we get to see how she rose to, you know, the highest position in this company, where I believe they have close to 6.5 million distributors all around the world. This is a global company, direct selling company, and just amazing. But a story, that story is told about, you know, parents, you know, tell her, hey, you need to go get a job, you need to get a JOB and start working. So she decides to work, I believe it's Bloomingdale's or something like that, you know, kind of a retail, you know, big box mall store, if you will. And, she starts off, you know, in this like training thing for management or something, but she's in the stock room. And to her, she describes it, she's doing these minuscule type of tasks. It's like, man, I got a degree. I went to college. You know, I want to quit. I want to get out of this. She thought that she didn't need to be doing that. And she called her mother up and her mother says, no, we don't quit. You just can't quit. Mm-hmm. You got to stick it out. And I think that's so important. I mean, we can just like begin to start this conversation on the power and the importance of not quitting. Mm-hmm. You know, I've talked to many young people, but people of all ages, and I'm amazed at how often, I think because of, maybe just our culture, America, but so many people want to start out at the top. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody wants to start out as the CEO, and they don't want to pay their dues, and they don't want to do the minuscule task. They don't want to fold the clothes, if you will, but they want to tell people, you know, what to do. And it's like, man, it's not part of it. Part of growing as a person, as an employee, as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, is to be able to get into the details and be able to learn all aspects of the business.
Yeah.
You know, and why are we talking about this? Because, you know, we've been talking about the seven spheres of society, and the church has been familiar with the religion sphere. And we've got that covered pretty good, and there's ways to go. But it appears that we have abandoned the other spheres, the spheres of education, the spheres of business, of government, of family, of arts and entertainment and media. And we're supposed to be, you know, agents of change. Mm-hmm. We are supposed to influence our environment for God, the kingdom, and you know, advance God's kingdom on the face of the earth and be able to have a light perspective and a representation in all of these areas. And so what we're talking is about raising a generation of young people that are that love God, that are empowered by His Spirit, and are agents of change in government. They're agents of change in business, in the media. They're producing quality, wholesome family movies. I mean, we think about what's happening now. We've talked about this quite a bit, Pat. Mm-hmm. But we talked about all the wonderful movies that have just come out in the last couple of years that have been excellent. I mean, the not only has the acting been exceptional, the storyline has been phenomenal, but they're great. They're movies about God. They're movies about family, love, redemption, hope. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that, man, Hollywood's recognizing that, wow, Christians are putting out some really amazing quality stuff. I think about the actual church, I believe, in South Carolina that produced a couple of those great movies we enjoy, Facing the Giants. Mm-hmm. And
thing is how people are responding, too.
Oh, yeah. They're responding with their dollars and tickets and buying DVDs. And it's just amazing. And Kirk Cameron and all this type of stuff. But we're talking about how can we influence now young people to make this kingdom impact, if you will. And I think that one of the things that have hindered us, particularly in America, is the fact that the luxuries that we have here have really, I mean, I think that young people have too many options. There's too many things that they can do, and they don't jump or seize the opportunity that is right in front of them. And when we get back from this break, we're going to talk about this because we believe that right now is the greatest moment. I mean, listen, yesterday's over with. Tomorrow may never come. Today's a gift. That's why we call it the present. I mean, today, you know, is the day of salvation. Now is the time that you have. No one's promised tomorrow. I mean, Steve Hill, you always used to say tomorrow is written in a fool's calendar. Mm-hmm. All you and I have is today. And so what would happen if we just seize the moment? I was just talking about this with someone yesterday. Sometimes you got to close the book on the past, no longer define yourself by any of that stuff, and especially if you've given your life to the Lord. Listen, if any man, any woman be in Christ, old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Walk in the newness of what God has for you. Increase your vision and become an agent of change for God and His kingdom. And we're talking about empowering the next generation of kingdom leaders. And before the break, we were talking about some of the luxuries that we have in the West and how maybe that's turned out to be our weakness instead of our strength. But I want you to watch Andrea Jung as she talks about a little bit about blooming where you are planted. And this is powerful. Watch this.
A great piece of advice came from an old boss I had very early on in my career. He had a poster behind his desk that was of a potted plant, and it simply said, bloom where you're planted. And people used to come into him all the time and say, I don't like my boss, I'm not liking this job, move me to another department. And he used to just point to this poster behind his desk and say, from the experiences that are most difficult in your career, you will learn the most. From the bosses that you hate the most, perhaps will be where you learn the most, because you learn how to be a leader not like that, how to treat people better if you don't think you're being treated well, that you need to stay and take those moments that are difficult and embed them into how you can become a stronger person, a better leader, and that it'll be important to your career. And that was a great piece of advice. It goes along the thought of persevere. Don't quit. Don't give up too early. Learn from tough times as well as good times.
Oh, powerful. Bloom where you're planted. And so I'm sure she was very grateful that she took her parents' advice and decided to stay in the stockroom and do well and learn and grow with the company. But it's so true. Everybody is like, you're always going to have an opportunity to not like a particular thing that you're doing. I mean, it's not like, you know, everything is 100%. And, you know, there are things, some nuances to what you do that maybe are not the most exciting things. But, you know, you have to remain faithful. God's looking for faithfulness. Oftentimes, he's not looking for our ability or our knowledge or skill sets. Lord knows he wasn't looking here for that. But he's looking for our availability and our faithfulness and to persevere in the things that he has, you know, brought us to. God's brought you to a place. You didn't arrive to that job by accident. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how humble you can be sometimes when you're looking for that place of employment, looking for that opportunity. And once you get there, you don't like the wallpaper. You know, there's something's wrong with the building. The manager's not right. There are no opportunities. Well, wait a minute. Wasn't this the same job that you were just talking about mm-hmm. a week ago that it was fantastic? So what changed? Did the company or the job change, or did you change in your perspective and your attitude towards it? And so I think that's great advice that no matter where you're at in life, you know, bloom where you planted. You know, just continue to remain faithful, continue to do what you're doing, and remember that promotion comes from the Lord. Mm-hmm. And today, you know, we encourage our young people to, you know, go to college and learn a trade and get a good job. And I'd love to be able to discuss the opportunity. What would happen if we were to lift the lid of that and give young people a greater vision for work and productivity? I don't think that we talk about that enough as we're trying to mold the next generation mm-hmm. and influence the next generation about, you know, what can you do? What are the possibilities? Obviously, there's nothing wrong with being an employee, adding strength, depth, value to a company. But imagine the possibilities if we begin to talk to young people about being entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. about being business owners, about providing solutions and inventing products that literally change the way that we do things in life and society. I mean, just when you think that they've invented everything, just when you think that you have everything that you need, there comes that one revolutionary product that you say, man, I got to have it.
Mm-hmm.
And but someone thought about it, someone developed it, you know, they engineered it and took it to market. And I look at what happens a lot of times in other countries where they don't have all of these options of mm-hmm. education. And think about it. It's so quick today for anyone to really get a job, mm-hmm. a place of employment. I mean, just go and you fill an application and you have a job.
Yeah.
But what happens when you live in a country where those jobs are not readily available? You are stretched to say, wait a minute, maybe I need to do this for myself. Maybe I need to create something, invent something, mm-hmm. Sell food, you know, maybe make a craft and take it to market. And because sometimes the possibilities and the opportunities are less, it forces people to step out
mm-hmm.
and take that entrepreneurial leap.
Yeah, that's a huge thing. It's like when you look at people who have small businesses and those entrepreneurs, it's amazing how many people I've encountered that moved to America. And they started because they saw the opportunity. They saw the creativity, like you're saying, the limitless, you know, possibilities, because they said, if I just work hard, I can just, you know, it's endless of what's achievable. And
right.
So often it's like, if you're from the nation, if you're from this, like you're saying, there's so many opportunities. You don't know what you could do or what you can do because you're like, I don't even know where to begin. Because so often it's like, well, I have this, I have that comfort and convenience. But it's like, if all you see is the opportunities and you're willing to put in the hard work, it's like you're saying, having that entrepreneurial, that creativity mindset, it's limitless.
It's amazing. You look at different, you know, times in society, you know, my, you know, grandmother's generation, and a special shout out and tribute to her. I mean, she came to the United States from Puerto Rico with a fourth grade education.
Mm.
She worked in a factory. And she just learned, worked hard, worked extra, did all these different things to be inventive. She really was an entrepreneur. I mean, she'd sell all sorts, you know, mm-hmm. sorts of stuff. You know, she'd make clothes. She did everything. And throughout the years, with a fourth grade education, barely being able to speak English,
mm-hmm.
was able to just be prosperous. I mean, she was a believer. God changed her life.
Mm-hmm.
And God gave her so many ideas and so many so much favor and opportunity, wow, that she really has lived such a blessed life, bought houses and all different things that she's been able to do, travel everywhere, mm-hmm, because of being able to step out and say, you know what, I'm just going to trust God. I'm going to, mm-hmm, you know, do some things. And because she was faithful, she was really tremendously blessed. So, mm-hmm, oftentimes people look at what they don't have as excuse for what, you know, the future would be. Look, she didn't even know to speak English. Mm-hmm. She had a fourth grade education, and she was able to make that happen. And it's just a testimony to, you know, the blessing of God on your life. There's a lot of things that you can do without, but let me tell you, you don't want to do without God's favor and his blessing and his hand upon you. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Nehemiah said, because the gracious hand of the Lord was upon me, mm-hmm, the king granted my request. And that's what we want to walk in, the favor of God.
Yeah, I think it's real important also is that, you know, you got to teach your children the ethics of hard work.
Oh.
I mean, I just didn't receive it out of thin air. I mean, right. It was something that was taught to me at a young age. I remember my grandfather, you know, teaching me how to do certain things like yard work. Mm-hmm. And who likes doing yard work? I hated it.
Right.
I hated when he showed up every summer and put me to work. You know, he taught me the skills on how to, you know, properly rake a yard or, right, mow grass or whatever it was. Scrape paint off the wall. It was, hated those times. But you know what? It taught me something, mm, that now I can pass on to my own children.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't naturally want to do the things that you hate.
Mm-hmm.
You avoid them at all, right, costs. But if you don't teach your children that, teach them how to do it right, and, mm-hmm, don't quit, like you were saying earlier, you never learn it.
Yeah.
But it stuck with me all my life, mm-hmm, that I just don't quit. I naturally work hard. You know, I'm not lazy.
Mm-hmm.
But it was taught to me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's so, so powerful, because you're right. You know, a lot of these things are caught, not just taught.
Mm-hmm.
And, uh-huh, so I'm sure your grandfather also, you know, modeled that type of behavior,
oh, yeah,
for
he
you.
He worked like a madman. It was amazing. At, yeah, his age, what he could do.
Yeah.
It was like, I'd be falling out, wanting to sit down, and he's just doing circles
he's still
around
doing
me.
It.
Yeah.
And that's so huge, too. It's like when you look at leaders and you look at business owners, they're willing to do what most aren't willing to do.
That's it.
And
that's really it.
Yeah. That's the huge thing that sets them apart, because they're willing to put in that time when someone's like, well, you know, that's kind of difficult. That's going to be hard. They're willing to roll their sleeves up and get in and get it done.
Think about this. 2% of the population employs the other 98%.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Come on now.
Yeah.
You know, I remember my grandfather living with us at a time, and there'll be a snowstorm, and they'd cancel school, and a lot of people wouldn't go to work. And I look at my grandfather, I'm like, where are you going? There's a snowstorm. You know, where are you going?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, what are you talking about? There's still work to do. And he'd drive, yeah, and all this type of stuff. And he would be only like 3 or 4 people that would show up to the company,
wow,
and continue to work in the midst of all of that type of stuff. You know, it's just, uh-huh, amazing. Uh-huh. And actually, he was part of the founding members of this company and, mm-hmm, and helped it to grow to where, you know, it became something that was really big. It was huge. But it was that hard work ethic. And I see today, and you, I think you do too, an extraordinary amount of money, time devoted to fun, leisure, the latest Hollywood, you know, movie or music, you know, thing that's going on or trend. And with so many young people, you know, desiring this thing called fame, and there's like 15 seconds. They just want to be famous for doing anything. That's, mm-hmm, their highest goal right now. And there's nothing wrong with having a good time. There's nothing wrong with, you know, wanting to have fun and do those type of things. But think about all the discretionary time a young person has today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why are we okay as a society thinking it's okay to put young people in front of TV for hours at a time? You know, why do we think, and we're perfectly okay with children spending hours surfing on the internet, you know, hours on the telephone?
Mm-hmm.
And as I was, you know, thinking about that, you know, a thought came to my mind, well, you know, someone's going to say that's old fashioned. And I thought, well, that's exactly the problem.
Mm-hmm.
When did it mm-hmm. become old fashioned to be able to invest time into learning something else?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about your entire life as a young person. If you're a young person, and we have many young people that watch VFN TV and listen, if you're a young person, this is the time in your life where you have the most discretionary time. Believe me, as you get older, time begins to, yeah, evaporate. And you don't have time to learn different things. You don't have time to venture out and do as much as you would like to do. But why not invest that time learning an instrument? Listen, you may never be in a band. You may never record a song. But if you could learn 3 songs on a guitar, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If you can learn how to play a piano, a couple songs, anything, you're stretching yourself. You are learning something new. And although music may not be a natural talent, you're in the process of growth, learning, and development. Instead of watching movies all day, why not learn how to use an editing program so that you can make your own movies?
There you go.
I know someone who's smiling right now. But why not learn? Why not learn these things? Mm-hmm. Instead of playing hours of a video game, and there's some adults that do that too, but hours of a video game, why don't you learn to develop a game? Create a game. Mm-hmm. I mean, why not? And I think that we're doing sometimes, you know, our young people a great disservice by not challenging them into doing these greater things and learning and growing and being stretched. And like you say, introducing them and teaching them mm-hmm. to a good work ethic. If we are going to affect society for God, I mean, imagine the possibilities where we could own companies that our mission for our companies and our business is not just to earn a profit. I mean, that's something that we're going to do because we work hard and we're going to sharpen our skill sets and we're going to, you know, want to do our very best to produce a great product or provide excellent customer service or do what we do at a better price than our competitor. Mm-hmm. Those things are going to happen as part of a natural business cycle. But what happened if the vision for the business was to provide resources to take care of 1, 2, 5, 20 orphanages around the world? What if your mission was to be able to, you know, reach unreached people in the Amazon jungle for the Lord, and you're going to send, you know, Bible translators in the area, uh-huh. or, you know, send missionaries? Listen, the possibilities are absolutely limitless, mm-hmm. but again, create, you know, doing something for a greater purpose, a greater vision. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about even some opportunities that may be available to you at any age to explore the opportunity of breaking out of a mindset that I can only do this mm-hmm. or I'm only equipped to do that. Listen, God has so much in store for you, and sometimes some of the most powerful message and greatest platform we're ever going to have is not going to be in the religion mountain, but it's going to be in the spheres of influence of business, where you work, where you go to school, where government activity takes place, mm-hmm. where media happens. And if you're there and you are have some influence on that mountain, you're going to affect so many people. We're talking about empowering the next generation of kingdom leaders and how we can affect the spheres of influence, in particularly the business mountain or sphere, and what we can do to help young people, but really a person at any age, to settle for the status quo, if you will, mm-hmm. but be willing to stretch themselves, not just for their own personal gain, mm-hmm. but to look at yourself in a way that says, you know, God has placed me on this earth so that, you know, I can love him and grow in him, and so that I can be fruitful, and so that I can glorify him in all that I do. How can I give God more glory? I mean, I know that he's getting glory in my life in this position, but is he calling me to do more? And I believe this is all part of discipleship and all part of all of this type of stuff. But I like companies like Avon and other direct selling companies, because what it does is allows a young person or a person of any age to step into the world of entrepreneurship mm-hmm. with very small capital. I mean, for less than $20, you're in. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Yeah.
And now, I mean, you can begin to start this adventure with a little bit of, you know, a lot of sweat equity, and, you know, you get out there and you start working and you start investing your talents, your skill sets, your resources, your mm-hmm. energy, your work ethic, and you begin to start maybe seeing a return on that investment. And some of the things that you learn Think about this. Some of the things that you learn, and why can a young person, or again, a person at any age, venture out into this, but you get to learn how to what? Communicate with people. you learn how to grow a faithful customer base. You learn how to market and sell your product, but also to sell yourself and what you're going to deliver the customer. You learn to face and overcome fears of speaking to people. I mean, that's a big thing. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing. Why wait to go on your first interview at 20 or 30 or whatever and then decide, oh, I got to open my mouth? Why not learn that at a younger age? Why not learn to communicate and face those fears? You learn to overcome rejection.
Mm-hmm.
Big thing. You learn how to operate in a meritocracy, meaning that you're directly compensated for your results.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really good that, a person at some point, gets out there and they see that, hey, my compensation reflects in what I'm able to do or bring to the table in this business.
What you put in is what you get out.
And that's not always the case, especially when you're starting a new business. I mean, you're going to put a whole lot in, and you may get...
And maybe get a return.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But the return is in so many ways because it's not just monetary. It's not just, your return on your investment is not just... You can't just measure it in dollars and cents, but you got to measure it in what you've learned and experience.
Yeah.
I mean, you may have started a business and you failed miserably, but you can say, I was a business owner. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I stepped out.
Yeah, that's right.
I employed someone. And the growth in the economy is not because of these huge companies that are hiring people. It's it's the mom and pop small business owners that are employing the 5 to 10 to 15 employees. And together, they're working to develop a product and getting it to market. And so many families are being taken care of people coming together, small groups of people, and saying, hey, we're going to give this a shot.
Yeah.
We're gonna work together as a team. You learn to manage your time and find out that events are not in control of your destiny, but you are.
Yeah.
And so you get to do that. And then you learn to appreciate how things are bought and sold. You now that you're an entrepreneur, you understand.
I appreciate all those bosses that I had over the years. Once I became one.
Yeah.
And that's huge too, because a lot of people, they don't see that whole process. And I think that's so powerful, like what you said, because sometimes learning is more important than getting that paycheck, because no one is ever going to be able to pay that lesson. That's wisdom right there that you learned, however much it costs. But it's just like, it's not about always getting the paycheck, but you going through that process of being able to say, yeah, I was a business owner. It's very humbling. And that's a huge thing, because in that season, you can learn that, leadership is the easiest thing to do when you're not the one leading. Because all of a sudden now you realize, you're like, oh, wow, we are in uncharted territory. Mm-hmm. And the most powerful thing is, like, I think about some of the journeys that we have seen, whether it's professional athletes or whoever they are, when they start at such a young age, they're willing, like you're saying, to put in that time to perfect my craft, to perfect my talent or whatever it is. And it makes me think about in 1 Timothy, it says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech and life, in love, in faith and purity. And I think it's so beautiful. It's like when you see, a 9-year-old kid with a lawnmower, with a shovel, with, like you're saying, a bag of Avon, but they're willing to just step out in boldness and just say, I want to do this.
Yeah.
And that's huge about how much they're willing to grow and learn in that process.
Yeah, I think that a lot of times parents rob their children of the opportunity of learning the struggle. They want to be helicopter parents, if you will, hovering and not wanting the child to scrape a knee or to experience any kind of suffering or lack. And it's amazing what happens that, you're robbing them sometimes of that inner struggle, that challenge where they have to depend on God, where they have to say, okay, I need to do something. I've got to get involved. I need to contribute. And when they do that, they learn something about themselves, they're encouraged, and they're able to help and bring someone else along. And it's important that at this, juncture that we find ourselves in society and as Christians, that we begin to broaden ourselves and look a whole lot deeper. I mean, you know, my parents' generation, they were just happy to get a good job. You know, a lot of times they were saying, just get a good job and find a good company. And a lot of companies, if you look back, I mean, people were employed 15, 20, 30 years at the same company. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't happen today. They say that the average tenure of a person at a company today is 7 years because things are changing, technology is moving, and so many things are happening. Companies are coming up, they're going down, and it's just different.
And it's almost odd in the present day to see someone that has such a significant time in one company.
Mm-hmm.
They almost like to see that where you have changed because you can bring that much more to the present company.
Absolutely. Perspective.
Yeah.
And then you went through a series where you had parents just tell their young people, you got to go to college. You got to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go to school. You got to get an education. You got to go to college. And there's a lot of people going to college today, but they haven't learned anything. They learned how to study. And don't get me wrong. I'm not against education. I mean, yeah, learning, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
But all they got or, you know, was a textbook knowledge. They didn't, you can't get work ethic out of a book. You know, you can't get experience out of a book. Yes, you need knowledge, but you need to be able to add to that knowledge. You need to grow in wisdom. You need to grow in experience. You need to grow in a work ethic. And a lot of times it's taught on the job training. You know what I mean? You got to get dirty a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get your hands involved so that part of the process you can learn, and then you can actually develop the next generation of leaders in your business and your company. You can teach from what you know instead of maybe what you watched on a video or read or something. It's like, let me show you how to do it instead of just tell you how to do it. Because also, too, there's people that learn different ways. People learn by listening, and then people learn by actually seeing somebody. And if you don't know what you're doing, how can you teach the next generation what it is that they need to learn to do? And I think that if we embrace this next wave that says, hey, listen, you may need to go to school. You may not need to go to school. You may go to college. Mm-hmm. You may go learn a trade. But whatever you do, at least give yourself the opportunity to get involved at the highest level and not just, you know, going to the easy way out and maybe just get a job. But maybe think of yourself as one who's willing to step on out and get into this entrepreneurship, not just for your own purpose, but to increase the vision and say, you know what? I want to be able to own a company, have employees so that we can not just make a fantastic product and bring it to market, but out of our earnings, out of our success, we want to be able to touch our world. Maybe it's our neighborhood, our local communities, homeless shelters, feeding the hungry, clothing people, taking care of, you know, all these different things in education, and even taking our resources overseas. Let's lift our vision higher and train the next generation of kingdom business owners, and let's see some amazing things that are going to happen. Let's do it together.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.